On the bottom of page 357, 358, in Hebrew, it is Ubir Ha'inyan. Where is that?
To explain?
Yeah. Ubir Ha'inyan, three lines from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And from the English, it's 357, is to explain, is it a passage of Tikkuni Zohar?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. It's interesting how in the English he translates this. I didn't look at the English translation, but it says, now what we've been saying until now is we're talking about tshuva according to the Kabbalah. And we said that tshuva is tashuv hay. There's a lower hay and a higher hay. And he has been saying that the relationship between us and Hashem is like we are a portion of God, and therefore we have this intrinsic connection. And later on he says, when like a rope is our connection, that with when Hashem schleps us, then we get schlepped, when we schlep Hashem, then Hashem gets schlepped.
Right.
As it's based on the portion, Ki Yaakov Chevel Nachalase. Yaakov is the lot of his inheritance, and the word Chevel, meaning a lot, also means rope.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we are a portion of God. Now, what he's going to do is at this point is explain, what does this mean? This idea of tashuv hay. What was his return? What hay? We didn't talk about that yet.
Mm.
So now he's going to talk about this idea of returning the hay. And he mentioned before that returning the lower hay is called the lower level of tshuva, tshuva tata, and returning the higher hay is tshuva ilah, the higher level of tshuva. But we don't know what we're talking about when we're talking about returning hays.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, Ubir Inyan Kenoid Mamaymer Eliyahu. We can explain this, that which it says, the statement which is known from Eliyahu. Now, the Rebbe, in his Biurim on Egeres HaTshuva, which he did the year that his mother passed away, which I believe was before the translation,
mm-hmm.
explains why the Alter Rebbe attributes this statement to Eliyahu,
okay.
and doesn't quote Tikkuni Zohar, which is where it's found that Eliyahu says it.
Okay.
If you look at the English, what does it say? It says the passage in Tikkuni Zohar.
Mm.
Okay, which Maimer Eliyahu, you know, which is what he means, but the Alter Rebbe was very exact. And sometimes you can take liberties in translation.
Yeah.
But I would have hoped, I'm actually disappointed in the translator,
yeah.
that he didn't look through the sikhas and see
check, yeah.
that there's a reason why he didn't put in those words to Tikkuni Zohar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if he wanted to, then he could have went after note 20, so there he could have put in the footnote, which is the back of the text I'm going to look at, and he could have said over there, Tikkuni Zohar, Maimer Eliyahu Behakdamasei, in the introduction, and then we wouldn't have any problem with the translation.
Uh-huh.
But like this, I have to make a macha. I am declaring disapproval,
discontent, yes,
with the translation right here publicly, folks. Okay, now, so we'll talk about why he says it, why it brings us in also here, over here. And he says, Antu dafikas eser tikkunin v'karunin le eser sefirin l'nhaga behind almas sistimim. We say this on Friday afternoons before mincha, and it says, you are the one who effused 10 tikkunim. The word tikkun means fix. It also means like the word expression of jewelry or something to make something look nice.
Okay.
He just calls it 10 tikkunim. He doesn't even translate it.
Hmm.
Okay, because the word comes from the word tikkun, to fix. Okay. The Karin Lasser Sphere, and you call them the 10 spheroids to conduct with them all the worlds, the concealed worlds and the hidden worlds. Okay, before we go to the next
step. He who elicited 10 fixes?
Fixes, yes.
Okay.
That sounds really bad English, which is why I can understand why he said Tikkun, just transliterated it.
Repairs?
Isn't that fixins? That's what goes with chicken. Chicken and all the fixins,
chicks,
right?
Chicken and fixins.
Yeah.
Or now we're fixing to do this.
Yeah, yeah, the fixin and
we're
fixins.
Fixing to
yeah,
do this,
exactly.
Yeah.
So,
of course, in that case, it means getting started. So maybe that's Is that that kind of thing?
No. It's just chicken and all the fixings. We didn't realize that God was from Kentucky. Yeah. I mean, you know.
No. Farther south.
Chickens. Chicken, all fixins and gravy. I'm not sure exactly what the fixins is. Yeah. That means like the biscuits, right?
Exactly.
No, this is not biscuits. But you use the word tikkunim also to refer to jewelry. Well, a woman, when she gets dressed,
okay,
the last thing that she puts on is the jewelry.
Sure.
And that's sort of like what makes the appear. That gives it the wowee.
Yeah.
Is the jewel? That's the purpose of the jewelry. Wowee.
You're right.
Factor.
Okay.
So, but here we're using this word tikkun to mean fixed, is because godliness, elokus, is no way relatable to the world at all. It has to go through the process, and we therefore call the process something that fixes the revelation. Because if you don't fix the revelation, you can't use it.
You still can't get it from there to here.
Right. So you have to have this process. And then he says, and we're going to call it 10 spheres. Okay. Now, the word sephira has, it's one of those words in Hebrew, samach pei resh, has four, maybe half a dozen translations. In this sense, when we think of the word sephira, we think of the word sphere.
Yes.
Okay, meaning round.
Right.
Which is true, that's where the
globe.
Word comes from.
Globe. Right, right.
Globulus, yes.
Yes.
10 globules.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. It also is the root of the word, he hasn't even translated the word spherot either. It also, it's taken the easy way out. Just transliterate the thing. Don't even bother translating it.
Fixing globes.
Yeah, fixing globes. Yeah. The word sapphire.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Also comes from the same word, sapphire, sapphire.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Sapphire. It's the same word, sapiri.
Right.
Sapiri means to shine.
Okay.
And sapphire is called sapphire because of its brilliance.
Brilliance.
Its shine.
Right.
Okay, the sparkle that it has to it. But it's there's a difference between a diamond is not called a sapphire in Hebrew.
Right.
A diamond is a different word because there's a sparkle on a diamond that's not in the sapphire. The sapphire has got like has a warmth to it.
Yes.
You can see like a depth. Because it's the diamond is clear.
Right.
So it doesn't have that same depth to it.
Okay.
You can see right through a diamond. Okay, so to speak. Have you ever been to like the Museum of Natural History? You saw the Star of India diamond, mm-hmm. Sapphire over
yes,
there.
Yes.
There's something just the look of it just pulls you into
right,
it.
Right.
Which is why they probably use it. I think they used it initially for some idol.
Probably.
Because it has that magnetism to it. Okay. Even though they say that the reason why the Hope Diamond is called the Hope Diamond. It's because everybody who sees it hopes they could have it.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, so I saw that in a Dennis the Menace comic book when I was about 7 years old. Anyway, so that's another thing, shining. Then you have sapphire means to count.
Okay.
This sapphire means to count.
Okay.
Well, so these things are countable. And then the word sipur, story, tell.
Story, okay.
Yeah. Is also the same root. I think that's all of them. Okay, and all of them therefore have to, since this is the same word,
right? They all have to
They all have to have the same meaning.
Interrelated, yeah.
They all have to be the same. If they have the same root, that means that they are the same thing according to the rules of Hebrew language.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. So there has to be something to do with round and shiny and sapphire. Well, sapphire and shiny, we got that one already. And count and story.
Yeah, and telling, right?
And telling. Okay. So we've learned already in Shar Yichud V'Amunah, the way in which the world was created, it was an expression of Hashem's quote-unquote speech.
Mm. And all those qualities. Yeah.
And therefore, since we're talking about speech, so what is Hashem doing? Hashem's telling a story.
Mm.
Let there be light. I mean, you can read the story. Hashem, the Rebbe's big thing is don't read the Bible as a story. Why does the Rebbe have to tell you don't read the story, the Bible as a story? Because you could read the Bible as a story. It's a very, you know, very, you know, themes in literature based on the Bible is one of those classes I took back in high school.
Right.
You know, the alienation, the unrequited love, the conflict, you know, the et cetera, the soliloquies, the dialogues, you know, the conflict. It's all there. Okay, as in basically the premise of that class I took with Bitcoin is that every book ever written is basically based on the themes of the Bible.
Right.
Okay. So good. So you could read the Bible as an epic tale. Okay, that's why the Rebbe has to come and tell you don't read it as an epic tale.
It's not an epic tale, right?
Okay, but it tells us something that Hashem is telling us something, and the way in which Hashem created the world is in a way of telling, so to speak.
Right.
And if anybody wants to learn further, they should look over the first 12 chapters in Shaar Yochid V'Amunah, which are posted on the website already. Then you have the idea counting, that every Hebrew number, every Hebrew letter has a numerical equivalent. So the number and letter is basically, it's the same thing. When you say to count in Hebrew, you're basically saying letters. Mm. And each letter is a conveying of a way to convey the godliness down. Okay, so you can say, but wait a minute, those are all words and whatnot. So he's going to talk about right now when he explains the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, for example, and correlates it to the 10 spheres, and I'm going to do it, not going to do it, and let him do it. Okay, so the question is why is it that the Alter Rebbe, in trying to impress us about the 10 spheres, uses the Tikkuni Zohar, doesn't mention the Tikkuni Zohar, he mentions Eliyahu. That's one question. Why does he mention Eliyahu? Doesn't mention Tikkuni Zohar. And you can take it back even further. Is why does he need to mention it at all? Back in Tanya chapter 3, when he was talking about the 10 spheres, he didn't say anything about Eliyahu.
Right.
And the rule generally is when the Alter Rebbe quotes a source, there's something there to tell us that why, there's something there specifically that we need to like focus in. And specifically now we can say, well, I can think of a better source. The better source would have been Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Tikkuni Zohar was compiled by Shimon Bar Yochai. Mm. And he quotes, he's just a redactor, and he's quoting Eliyahu.
Right.
But Sefer Yetzirah, what does it say in Sefer Yetzirah? That there are 10 spheres bli ma. There are 10 spheres that are without substance, v'ein lam sof, and they have no end.
Right.
Could he use that statement? It also says 10 spheres. And that was written by Avraham.
Avraham, yeah.
And that precedes Eliyahu by 1,500 years.
Fair source.
So that we could say that possibly it would be that Eliyahu knew about the 10 spheres from reading Sefer Yetzirah.
Sure, yeah.
Not from as being a primary source.
Right.
The big word over here, why the Alter Rebbe quotes the Tikkuni Zohar specifically in Eliyahu, is because of the word ant, who the afikus aser tikkunin. You are the one who elicited these 10 spheres. Bringing in, when we say you in this instance, we were referring to the essence of Hashem. And that's and specifically because what is he explaining? He's explaining the connection that we have. When he says "biur inyan," what is he explaining? The verse Yaakov Chevel Nachalasei, that the Jewish people are a portion of God's inheritance, that we are part of Hashem. What part of Hashem are we? The very essence of Hashem. We are not, even though it's true that you talk about in back in chapter 2, that you have different levels in souls. You have souls of people who are in Atzilus. Those are the big tzaddikim. Okay? And you get down the souls of Asiya, Shiba, whatever. I keep going. And those are our souls. Okay? But that's just the way the soul gets packaged. Mm. The essence of the soul is the essence of Hashem, and that's why they also, he quotes it over here at the top of the page,
right,
and why it was quoted back in chapter 2, that we are, our soul is our soul because of the verse. How do we prove our soul? What it is on the verse, Vayipach Hashem, Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chaim. The Hashem blew into him a soul of life. The man deteich, man denafach meteichin nafach, that the one who blows from his very innermost.
Right.
So what does it mean, the innermost of Hashem, so to speak? Referring to Hashem's essence. Yeah. From the Sefer Yetzirah, where it says, Antu Dafikas Eser Tikkunin. No, from the Sefer Yetzirah, where it says, You Esser spheres, Blima. So all we know, we're just, that's in a vacuum. We know that there are 10 spheres, and the 10 spheres are without substance or form, but and they're infinite. That's all we know about them. Eliyahu tells us that there's 10 spheres that are ma'at, they are from Hashem. Now, what is the good does that do to us? Is because our neshama, he also says in chapter 3, is also composed of 10 spheres. And the same way that we, that Hashem is relating and conveying his energy to this world, is the same way that the essence of our neshama is manifest in the body.
Okay.
So therefore we have that parallel that we have the same thing to again. And then he keeps on going. Quoting the Zohar still, this is Eliyahu. You are a sage, but not with a wisdom that is known. Ant mevin veloba bina yediya. You are understanding, but not with an understanding that which is known. What does he have to quote this for? He already proved his point. His point was that there's 10 spheres. That's all we have to, that's all we needed. All he wanted to quote from the Zohar is a proof that there are 10 spheres. He did that already. And that's why he has the V'chulu. Okay, V'chulu is enough to tell us, and by the way, there's more. So if he's going to quote V'chulu, why does he tell us, why does he quote more?
Why keep going, right?
And then add that, end that off with a V'chulu and say, oh, and by the way, there's more that you should know about too. Okay, he could have left this out. Is it because Ant Chakim V'lo V'chachmi Yedi is not referring to Atzilus? When it says you are a sage, yeah, but not with a wisdom which is knowable, is not talking about Chachma of Atzilus. Because even though Atzilus is beyond our comprehension altogether,
right,
but we can understand, we could talk about it. He's going to talk about what it is right now. It's going to be like a point, and it's a potential, etc., yada, yada, yada. That's all talking about Chachma of Atzilus. When Eliyahu said, Antu chacham, chakim v'loba chachma yediya, that's talking about chachma before tzimtzum. Before the first tzimtzum. Because, this is something that we don't, have you ever heard of Esther spheres of Genuzos?
Yeah.
The 10 hidden spheres. The 10 spheres before Atzilus. It's talked about a lot in Rosh Hashanah, Maimonim. Okay? That what are Esther spheres of Genuzos? They're not spheres. They have no definition, because before the first Tzimtzum, there is nothing there. Uh-huh. And the best is that the Rebbe Rashab calls it, Hasha'arois Ba'alma, which means sort of like estimates or appropriations. Appropriation is already too concrete already.
Yeah.
And possibilities is even too much.
Right.
To translate the word Hashara. Hashara means something that sort of like came up in your mind an idea. That's a Hashara.
Okay.
Yeah. So in that point, we're talking that Hashem, there's Esser Sfiros. So how do we know that there are Esser Sfiros before Tzimtzum? Is only what's referred to as Bederech Shalila, indirect logic. Since we have
because
10 spheres,
right,
they had to come from someplace.
Right.
Where did they come from? They must have come from before Tzimtzum, since everything came from before Tzimtzum.
Right.
So therefore, just as there are Esser Sfiros Agaluyos,
right,
after Tzimtzum,
right,
there must be, therefore,
right,
Esser Sfiros from before Tzimtzum.
Right.
And that's about the best we can do.
Yeah. You can't, okay?
Because you cannot, right, say, we're gonna have a starting point. Okay, our starting point is before Tzimtzum, and we're going to discuss how it all formulates over there, because it doesn't formulate. It's not making anything. It's just indirect logic. We say it must be there, but in analysis of the infiniteness of Hashem and Atzmuso, all you have is Atzmuso, because that's the definition of Atzmus.
Right.
Asmos is something which is a dover part. It's called pshitas. It's a dover which has something which has no explanation and cannot be broken into component parts. So here it is. What are we doing? The first thing we're going to say is, as soon as right after we say you can't break it into component parts, what are we doing?
Breaking
it into component parts.
Yeah, just so we can have this clear.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Okay, so therefore he says, but that's where our neshama comes from.
Right.
Our neshama doesn't come from Atzilus. Atzilus, chump change. The Friedrich Rebbe refers to the 10 spheres of The Frida Kahlevi refers to the 10 spheres of Atzilus, as far as Hashem is concerned, as an embarrassment. That's all? That's it? That's all you want to talk about? That's why the Alter Rebbe, I've often said and maintained, I might have said it to you a couple times, that if they ever invented a time machine, which according to physicists they never will because no one ever came back from the future to visit us,
right.
If they ever invented a time machine, the person in history that I would like to go see is the Alter Rebbe.
Right here.
The only person. I'm not interested, you know, Moshe, okay, David HaMelech, Avraham Avinu, whatever, to go stand at Sinai. Nah, okay, it's good, it's nice, okay. No, no, no. I wanna see the Alter Rebbe. Okay. I wanted to be around this guy, this
right.
rabbi.
Right here.
Okay. Because he said I'm not interested in 10 spheres.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want your Gan Eden. I don't want your Olam Haba. You can keep your revelations, which you're talking a revelation of Atzilus.
Yeah.
The Alter Rebbe was a person that could not say the word Atzilus. He would fall down in a faint in Dveikus from saying the word Atzilus. He would just refer to it as Oibin, meaning above.
Mm.
Could not say the word. Okay, and he said,
I don't want you to.
I don't want that.
I don't want you.
That's an embarrassment. That's chump change.
I want
the essence. I want the whole thing.
I want the one. Right.
Okay, so that's why he's related. Because why? Because our Neshama and its essence must be able to take it.
Yeah.
You're because right. that's where it comes
that's
from.
Where it comes from. That's it. Yeah.
Okay, so when you talk about it, when you think about it, it says, I think it's Sefer Abba here that comes with the first place that there are Chamisha Shemas Nikrala. The Neshama has five names.
Yeah.
Nefesh Ruach, Neshama, Chai, and Yechida. Okay, and Yechida we always translate as the plug-in. Okay? But, what you got?
Nothing.
Okay. But, it says five names are called to her. Nefesh Ruach, Neshama, Chai, and Yechida. You have the five names, and then you have the her.
Right.
The her doesn't get a name. Okay, that's what the essence is. We always translate Yechida as the essence of the essential connection of the Neshama to Hashem.
To her.
Okay, but it's just that's just a name. There's the her also.
Yeah, exactly.
Which this is what he's talking about over here. When we say that Yaakov Chevel Nachalosi, that my soul, Vayipach V'Apav Nishmas Chayim, my soul is a portion of God. What am I talking about? I'm talking about that part of Hashem. Excuse me, that part of my neshama, which is rooted in the very rooted in Atzmus before Tzimtzum. That's where my neshama is coming from. Why is he bringing this in here? Is because we're talking about doing teshuvah. This is not Shar Yichud V'Amuna. Shar Yichud V'Amuna talks to me very nice. There's a nice world, and it does exist, or maybe it doesn't exist. There's Elokus, the Elokus makes the world go round and round. That's all very nice. Here, we're talking about tshuva.
Hmm.
And even though we want to say that the Iker Inyan of tshuva is not for sin, but, who are we fooling? In our instance, okay, Mashiach's gonna come va'asa tzadikayla to yufta. Mashiach's gonna come and he's gonna bring all the tzadikim to do tshuva, right? For whatever they didn't do in this world. Hello, I've often said Mashiach is gonna come. The first thing he's gonna judge, it says in the Gemara, is how many chattises, how many sin offerings a person's gonna have to bring.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm telling people now, invest in sheep futures. Because Mashiach is going to come, the price of sheep is going to go through the roof. You're going to make out like a bandit. So, the essence of our soul, so we're talking tshuva.
Yeah.
Tshuva means, for Joe Average, I'm not talking Joe Bainini. I'm talking about the people who are reading a Gerasa Tshuva because they think, man, I got to do something. And I got to do it fast.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you think what tshuva is such a tremendous gift. The things that happen with tshuva, we have in the Gemara. You have the end of Masechta Tainis, the Lohaya Yamim Tovim B'Yisrael Ki Yom Kippur V'Tu Ba'av. Very appropriate for the time.
Mm.
Okay, there's no holidays for the Jews as great as Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av, the Gemara says Yom Kippur, Vidal, it's no. Tu B'Av is because they used to make these big parties and lots of people would get married and they had the promulgation of the Jewish people. And it was the counteracting of Tisha B'Av.
Right.
Good. So what's so great about Yom Kippur is because on Yom Kippur you have the greatest revelation of Hashem throughout the whole entire year. That's why it's called Shabbos, Shabbosing. Shabbos gets more godliness than the rest of the week. Yom Kippur gets more godliness than Shabbos. So it's such a great amount of godliness, a great level of godliness, that what is it doing is it's basically just drowning out all the dense nicks, spots, and splatters that we cause during the whole year. It's just whitewashing everything. That's what happens on Yom Kippur. It's a new coat of paint, it's a new everything, fill in all the cracks, all the spackling gets done, everything, bada bing, looks like a brand new wall. That's what Yom Kippur is. Because that's the effect of Teshuvah. You don't have to wait a whole year for a Yom Kippur. We learned that already at the beginning of chapter 1.
Right.
You do Teshuvah anytime. And that's the emphasis that he's trying to bring out here in chapter 4. Is we're not waiting for something to happen to say, okay, now I can do Teshuvah.
Now
you do Teshuvah by yourself.
Right.
Okay? And what is it that it was, where is the Teshuvah coming from? Remember, we said in chapter 3, we have to do the tshuva. Hashem has to do the forgiving.
Right.
What's the forgiving? The forgiving, the kapara, is this expression of the essence of Hashem coming through the essence of our neshama. And another bad example, you have this stuff called, what's it called? Just fell out of my head. You put it in your crankcase when you got an oil leak. You know, they have various products.
Stop leak.
Okay? So tshuva is coming in there, it's filling in all the pipes, and all the leaks are getting plugged up, and you're good to go for another year.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what's happening. Schoenberg Gordon, the rabbi of McCarmy, referred to tshuva as spiritual quickcrete.
Yeah.
He's kind of filling all the cracks, smooth it over, and bada bing, looks good as new. Okay, that's what it's doing. It's filling in all the gaps. Why is it filling in all the gaps? Because when a person does something wrong, what is affected is the physical world. Where did this person do this misdeed?
Here.
Right here.
Here.
He involved, most likely, something physical in order to do this transgression. Just like it is most mitzvahs. require a physical thing.
Right.
Tefillin have to be made out of physical leather, and sitzes have to be made out of wool, and a shofar has to be made out of a ram's horn, etc. So too, most violations also require a something, but from which you're supposed to refrain. So now that the person has gotten involved with that something, so what has he done? Is he's mucked up the physical world.
Right.
The whole reason why pigs exist is so that we're not supposed to eat
them. We don't eat them, right.
And therefore this person ate pig, so he messed that up. Comes now the result of his teshuvah, and it corrects, it fills in the gaps, just totally, completely smothers over all of the schmutz that the person brought into the world by doing that transgression. It comes from the essence of Hashem.
Right.
It gets stuffed into the essence of the neshama. And from there it goes through the process until it finally comes down into this physical world. Okay? That's why he's talking about this. So now that we're talking about, let's go back. So he says we threw that. That's why he put these three lines in over here. Really what he wanted to focus on was the first statement from the Tikkuni Zohar, that they're 10 spheres.
Right.
Okay, so let's talk about the 10 spheres. Okay. V'kol hayud sfirois nechalalus and remezes v'shem havaya baruch hu. The 10 spheres are alluded to in the name Yud Kei Vav Kei Blessed Be He. I think we've talked about this in the past. Ki yud shehu buchinis nekud levad meremezes l'chachmasa yizbaruch. The yud, which is just a dot, alludes to Hashem's wisdom. Shehu b'chinas Helam v'Hester k'edim shebalu b'chinas Hispashes v'Gilu ha'Saga v'Havana. before it comes now into development where a person can understand and comprehend it. Okay, so we call it before in chapter 3, we called it the kayachma, the power of the potential. It has no concreteness to it, as a dot is dimensionless.
Right.
There is no width or breadth on a dot, and there is no definition to chachma. It is a germinating seed for an idea. Mm. And then he says in the parenthesis, v'akot she'al ha-yud, there's a little on the top of the yud. Mm. That's Raim as Levachinas, actually the word kites means thorn. So Levachinas Ratzan Ha'elyon Baruch Hu Shalomayla Maylam Rejekat Levachinas Chachma Yila Kaneida. Where is the Chachma coming from? Where is the potential coming from? It all based on the idea that Hashem wants to and we want to. What precurses your beginning of your conceptualization is your wanting to conceptualize. You're wanting to do something. Mm. So with your wanting to do something, that requires, first of all, conceptualization. So if you want to do this, you have to start your thinking process. So the starting of the thinking process is chachma. That's where there's the initial correlation between your desire and getting it done. You have to think about how you're going to do it, first of all. You think about it. You have to conceptualize the idea. Is this an idea, even? You know, so... Then afterwards, what you have is you have this spark. It's called the Baruch HaMivrach, the lightning flash. Mm. It's called the germ, which basically falls away and becomes nothing when a plant grows. After the light bulb goes off, so then it's developed. So the person who gets the aha moment. Mm. Okay, that aha, when it says a guy goes, I got it. That's bina. That's understanding. And that's alluded to in the hay. And it's a very interesting thing that since it is, we talked about this again, I think in chapter 11 and chapter 12, Ashar Yechud Vamuna, that since Lashon HaKodesh is Kodesh, so even the shape of the letters... it indicates how the godliness is coming through. Mm-hmm. So here you have a yud, which a yud is shaped like a chachma, dimensionless. Mm. A hay is shaped like a bina. It's got a breadth and it has an expanse. Mm-hmm. Like a hay compared to a yud.
Right.
Okay? Sheyesh la bechinas hispashes l'reichav hamayra ormezes al harchavas habir v'havana. That it has, there's an expanse, which is alluded to in the width of the hay. V'gamla erech amera al hamshach v'hashpaz melamayla lamata la'omus esteemim. And it also has a length, which length is starting from the top going down, refers to the drawing down and concretizing of the godliness, or in this case, the idea. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, so that by the time it gets hits bottom, you go, yep. That's it, I got it, I know. Okay. Or I understand. Mm-hmm. And it comes out into the hidden world. And there now, at this point, when you're talking about Hashem and Elokus, so it's still hidden. It doesn't relate to us yet at all. It's still in thought. Thought, it's only for oneself. To be expressed, it has to be brought down even further. Like a person wants to show how brilliant he is, he can only do that by telling people. And that then is where the vav and the hay come in. Mm. Because he says, the vav is shaped like a pipe. Mm. And it's a pipeline to get you from one hay to the next. That you have the expanse of Bina, which is in a hidden state, and it goes through the pipeline, which are the emotions, that Vav is numerical value 6, and there's 6 emotions, so that you can wind up at the other end of the pipe, you wind up with an expanse in Malchus.
Malchus, yes.
Okay? That it comes down through the kindness of Hashem. This is the 6 days of creation. We talked about this in Shaira Chav Amuna. And the rest of his attributes. And we know about the six attributes of Hashem because of a pasuk that Shlomo Melech wrote in Chronicles and Divrei HaYamim. We say it every day in davening. You, Hashem, is the greatness and the severity and the beauty and the victory, etc. Ad lecha Hashem hamam lecha, and that verse ends, and to you, Hashem, is the rulership. V'lo ad b'chlal. Okay, not as far as that. Ki midas malchus is baruch nekhar b'shem dvar havaya, because malchus is not a mida, malchus is not an emotion.
Right. Okay.
Malchus is his own thing. Malchus says, "Here I am." That's the final product is malchus, and we call it the speech of Hashem. Kamosha kasev kasher diber melech shiltein, when a king speaks, he rules. And that's alluded to in the second letter, the second hey of Shem Havaya. So now we understand now, at this point, when he said the hey Rishaina, hey La Tshuvatata, hey Tata Tshuva, hey Tata Tshuvatata, that we have to return the hey. And what is it? We're returning the hey. So the lower hey has many names. He just said over here, it's called, he gave two of them right here. It's called Dvar Hashem. It's called the Hey. It's called Malchus. That's three we got mentioned over here. It's called Adnai. It's called Shekhinah. It's called Ema Tata, the lower mother. Okay? All these things are the same thing. And they're all doing the same thing. It's not that there's different functions in. It's all the same thing. It's just described, looking at it at a different angle.
Right, okay.
And which jargon you're doing. But each one of these things has the same function. And what is that? Poel, actuality. The king rules by speech.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? God spoke, and there's a creation.
It is, right.
The divine presence is bringing the world into existence. Malchus is establishing Hashem's kingdom in the world, as he's talked about in chapter 7 of Shaar Yehud Vamuna. They're all, Adnai means God's the boss and we're the subjects. It's all the same thing.
Mm.
Okay, so that's where we're working towards, is this returning the godliness, that since it's stuck to us, wherever a Jew goes, you know, this isn't Winnie the Pooh, but yes, wherever there's Pooh, there's Yonah, yeah, exactly, mm-hmm. You know, so, yeah, wherever we go, there's Hashem.
Mm.
And so when we drag Hashem down, Hashem comes down with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then the return, when we return, what are we doing? Is we're schlepping Hashem out of the muck that we got Hashem into, and attaching it to the Yud Kei Vav. We do that well enough, and then we get to go up to the higher level.
Right.
We get Mashiach.
Mm.
Okay? When we get all the schmutz off of the lower hay, off of Adnei, off the Shekhinah, etc., so then Mashiach comes. And then likewise also, so with the higher level of hey, when a person achieves a higher level, he's going to talk about this later on, how to do tshuva yilah.
Mm.
Okay, when a person achieves that level, which is well on beyond zebra, so now what the person is doing is uniting the yud and the hey together, so that they're united with the ratzon, which is united with the tainug, with the delight, which is united with the essence. So there, when a person's on a higher level of tshuva, he's uniting the higher level of godliness with an even higher level of, than that of godliness. Etc. So he says, because what's a hey? A hey is basically just exhale. It's all is just breath. And it is the very building block upon which all the other letters are formed. Because what happens when you speak is you exhale, and you're saying a hey when you exhale. What happens is your vocal cords get a hold of it. And they turn that into a, not exactly that, but
Right.
That's what you get with vocal cords. And then what happens is you move your mouth in certain specific ways so that the becomes a boomph from the lips, or a gichik from your throat, or a datlatats from your teeth, etc. Okay, but the very building block of all those different letters, which is these are the 22 letters of which the world is created, is the hay.
The hay. It's the breath.
Yep. And that's what we're talking about, the breath of Hashem.
Right.
Kamoshakasa Vigam Hakar Havaris Hay Hu Vivuchinas Hevelavad. The way to pronounce a hay is just to breathe. Kamoshakasa Atak Asa Kalila Delezba Mashasha. There's a small letter that has no substance to it. It's just the exhale. Ba'asha ain't lo demusa gufrasa shalom. We talked about this before, even though Hashem doesn't have a body. But the Torah speaks in the vernacular so that we get an idea, okay, that it's not really Hashem talking, but, you know, we get the picture, we've been here before.
Right.
And this is where we'll stop. We're at the bottom of page 360, the very last line.
Very good.
To be continued.